today. Surprise, surprise, SCOTUS drops the ball on election fraud cases. Could H.R. 1, the Politicians Act, actually fail? Crisis at the southern border as Biden shreds Trump's sane immigration policies. The largest state sponsor of terror in the world gets a huge financial windfall thanks to, well, you know who. And the CDC makes our case for us. Welcome to this week's edition of World News Brief. It's not all bad news. And welcome to this week's edition of World News Brief on the CGMRadio.com network. I'm your host, Winston R. Holland, elated to be with you this week, even as they challenge the very existence of our free constitutional democratic republic with this horrific H.R. 1 Act that actually may not pass, as I mentioned in the teaser at the beginning, and we will get to that and all kinds of news. But first, I want to make sure that you guys have listened to last week's broadcast with author, speaker, and attorney Mark Cole about saving civilization. Make sure to check that out. It was very encouraging, some very practical things we can do in this time to preserve freedom, to preserve not just Western civilization, but civilization itself. And then coming up next week, for next week's show, I'm very excited to be interviewing Rob Harmon. He is a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel and clinical assistant professor at the Sam Houston State University School of Nursing. We're going to be talking about masks, going to be talking about the COVID vaccine, all the stuff you're not supposed to be talking about, at least not from this particular point of view. So you will not want to miss that. So go to cgmradio.com. Make sure you are subscribed while you're there. Just some fantastic shows that have been coming down the pipe. Jim Barrier of the Since You Asked podcast had a just brilliant, brilliant show on spiritual warfare. You'll want to check that out. Bob Siegel, of course, is putting out daily shows, his latest on guardian angels. You won't want to miss. He has a pretty amazing personal story and encounter with a guardian angel. So, or a couple of them, I think. Pretty interesting. You'll want to hear that testimony. So, you know, spiritual warfare, angels, all kinds of interesting stuff going on here. And then the Faith, Reason, Culture podcast is back with Dr. Melissa Travis and Daryl Youngblood, both professional apologists. I have the extreme privilege of hosting that show and being able to interact with the two of them. And it's not just a podcast, it is also a video show. So if you want to find out what I look like and thus shame me and hunt me down on social media and just make a, you know, just make a complete mockery of me, you'll need to go to cgmradio.com and subscribe to Faith, Reason, Culture on YouTube and in your favorite podcasting app. You can do that. And also social media, we're kind of everywhere now. Facebook is back, Twitter is back, and even Instagram we're getting into. At CGM Radio News. Actually, on Instagram, it's at cgmradio.news. But the links to all of those are on cgmradio.com and cgm.news to get to our social media. And, of course, going strong on Parler and Gab as well. So be sure to follow us there. All right, I got a ton to get to. So let's dive right in. Breaking. Supreme Court dismisses President Trump and attorney Lynn Wood's final election challenge without comment. This is from the Gateway Pundit, of course, who has just been doing a stellar job of reporting on what you're not supposed to be talking about. You're not allowed to talk about. If you do talk about it, we will digitally assassinate you. It's absolutely unreal. The very thing, the foundation that ensures that we have a free republic, and I'm referring to the integrity of our elections, you can't talk about because supposedly they're so concerned because it could cause violence. And it's truly amazing that everything that they do, all of these moral positions that they take, just so happens to benefit them politically as well. What a coincidence! What a coincidence! Isn't that something? All of their pure and holy moral decisions actually benefits them, benefits them and helps them to steal further elections. Good times. The U.S. Supreme Court dismissed President Trump's final election challenge on Monday without comment. What a dark day for America. Democrats are now allowed to make any changes to election law whenever they feel necessary without consequence. True as of now. There might be some good news as a result of this. I'll get to that in a second. The Supreme Court also threw out attorney Lynn Wood's election challenge without comment. In fact, the Supreme Court turned down every single election case this year without comment. What a tragedy. Now, this is from @SCOTUSblog. The court denied another petition filed by former President Trump relating to the 2020 elections, this one against the Wisconsin Election Commission. No action on the challenge to the Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks. So, it's not all bad news. There is some good news. Of course, that last one about Mississippi is certainly good news, but not so great news on the election fraud front. Now, I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about this and lamenting this, and it was really from the election cases that were denied in February. And this thought kind of hit me. And I wrote an article about it, a very short article. It's up at cgm.news. If you want to read it again or share it, would appreciate that if you shared it. But this is just my perspective. I could be wrong on this. Would not be the first time that would have happened, believe it or not. Ask my wife. I have been wrong once or twice in my life. But here's the gist of it. What we've seen with the Supreme Court and election fraud cases is a complete abdication of duty. And I want to be unequivocally clear on that. They should have taken this case. In fact, they should have taken the Texas versus Pennsylvania case in November. The Supreme Court is the place where interstate disputes are decided. Who else is going to deal with that than the Supreme Court? And the idea that Texas and the other 20 states that joined in did not have standing is absolutely ludicrous. My dog, Rosie, knows. She's smart enough to know that Texas has standing. Because when Pennsylvania or any other state unilaterally changes the election laws by fiat, by not following the Constitution of the United States, which gives the legislatures the sole ability to do that. So when they illegally change their election procedures and it changes the outcome of the election potentially, that affects other states, and so the states have standing. It's very simple. Like I said, my dog gets it. She totally gets it. We talk about it often. She's very upset about it. Okay, so what we've seen, the history of all this, if you've been paying attention, if you've been following this stuff, the history of all this is that the Supreme Court completely abdicates their responsibility here. Now, let's say, for example, that Barrett, ACB, let's say she had decided to take this case or any of these cases where you have governors, secretaries of states, judges making these procedural changes to elections, changing how elections are done, not through the legislature. Let's say they took one of these cases, right? And it only takes four, doesn't take five, takes four Supreme Court justices to take a case, to allow a case in. Let's say they had done that. Do we have any assurance at all that they would have ruled with the Constitution on that? No way. I don't think they would have. Maybe I'm wrong, but my concern is that if they had taken any of these election cases, they would have ruled 2-7, 3-6, maybe 4-5 against the idea that anyone other than the state legislatures can make these changes to election procedures. And then at that point, you have a bit of a nightmare because now it's in a sense, because the Supreme Court has become so powerful, that's how it is now. In a sense, you have these nine oligarchs that just, or you could say, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 oligarchs, codifying into law, unconstitutional practices of changing election laws. And the legislatures, the state legislatures at that point, are essentially powerless to the whims of the governor, secretary of state, activist judges. So it could very well be that whether it's Gorsuch, whether it's Barrett or Kavanaugh's unwilling to hear these cases could have at least for a time preserved the authorities of these states to make their own decisions. That's just my point of view. I could be wrong. Who knows? Maybe if they had taken the case, they would have ruled. It would have been 5-4 for sure. And I would just say, you know, please continue to pray for our Supreme Court justices. We have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. You know, I often wonder if, you know, ACB gets into office, she's there in her, she's there in her office, settling in, and she gets a phone call. Hey, yo, Miss Barrett. Excuse me. Justice Barrett. Hey, Justice Barrett, congratulations. You're a Supreme Court Justice. What an accomplishment. Hey, yo, nobody gets to be a Supreme Court Justice. Good job. Hey, you know what? I saw a picture of your family online. Beautiful family. Beautiful kids. Really. You must be really proud. Such a good person, you know, adopted those two kids from Haiti. They called you a white colonizer for adopting and saving kids from a third world country. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I agree. Justice Bear. Wow. But you know, sure would be a shame if something happened to them, wouldn't it? Wouldn't a beautiful, beautiful family like yours? Sure would be a shame. Click. Who knows? I'm not saying that happened. Could have. I don't know. Pray for them. The pressure that they're on, they're in the midst of the swamp. I agree. Let's take SCOTUS and put it in the desert or something and make sure the only people that are a part of SCOTUS really, really, really want to be there. Get it out of the swamp. That is Washington, D.C. Not just a swamp, but it's occupied. It's under communist occupation as of now. And we're going to get to a very, very good video that I saw about that very thing. So we'll see. The states still have the power, thank God, to change their election laws. I know there's great work going on in Arizona. The Arizona Senate have the ability, supposedly have the ability. They're, of course, being hindered as much as possible by the people that are in charge of Maricopa County to be able to do a forensic audit of those 2.1 million ballots. But just keep praying for our nation. It's not all lost. And it's especially not all lost. It's extremely important that this H.R. 1 so-called For the People Act. Remember, just because it says people in the title of something doesn't mean it actually is for the people. The People's Republic of China should be a great indication of that. Or just because it says republic does not mean it's free. It's a free country, Democratic Republic of the Congo. So don't be fooled by the labels. It really is for the Politicians Act. It really is for the Communists Act. It really is for the cementing of one-party rule in this country forever act. That if this actually passed, which it really may not pass, but if it, and we'll get to why in a second, but if it actually passed, we would have to, it looks like we would probably have to secede. And I'll get to why in a second. Heritage Foundation did a great summary of it. I'm not going to read the whole summary. I'm going to give you a summary of the summary, and then you can go to cgm.news. It's up there right now, and you can learn more for yourself. But this is from One America News. Moderate Democrats, White House, resist calls to eliminate filibuster. I mean, it's really amazing how many things the founder set up within our system in order to preserve liberty. That you could be in a situation like we are right now, and yet there's still hope that liberty is preserved. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. They were brilliant, brilliant, man. They were heroes, imperfect heroes, and just like we all are imperfect, right? What, I think we were the one of the fourth or fifth nation in history to abolish slavery, and there's still slavery all over the world. But the most important thing is the fact that America had slavery illegal 200 years ago. Ah, you gotta love these Marxist revolutions. You gotta love them. Progressive Democrats continue to pressure their moderate counterparts to scrap the filibuster as a way of pushing their agenda through Congress. Recent reports show more Democrats are joining in the effort to pressure the White House to kill the filibuster, saying it's the only way they'll get their bills passed. Now, what does the filibuster do? This is extremely important. The filibuster sets the bar at least 60 votes in the Senate to pass most legislation, meaning the 50 non-Republicans in the upper chamber have to get the support of at least 10 of their GOP colleagues in order to pass a proposal. So the question is, okay, how do they pass that massive, quote, COVID relief bill that actually a small fraction of it was actually for COVID relief? And and we're going to get to a video of Ron Johnson in a second. He forced them to read the bill on the floor, which took like 11 hours. It's insane. So, but you have to have at least 60 votes to get most legislation through, unless it has to do with financial matters. Then you go into a process called reconciliation. We only need 51 votes. And of course, President Kamala Harris is there to cast that. Oh, did I say president? I'm sorry. I meant vice president. Yeah, vice president. Okay, however, moderate Democrats like Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema, however, have thrown their support behind the procedure, citing they'd like to see bipartisanship in the Senate. So there are a couple Democrats that have a tiny strain of moderation in them. Now, Joe Manchin has said he will be for it he'll vote for it if it gets passed, if it gets past the, you know, gets to the 60 that it needs, he'll vote for it. But otherwise, he's preserving the filibuster. In an interview on Sunday, Manchin said, quote, "It takes listening to the minority to make sure the majority is getting it right." Imagine that. The majority and the minority coming together. I mean, they literally passed the COVID relief bill without it going through committee. It's and getting input from the minority party. If they want to say that they care about minority rights, they don't care about. They care about minority rights if it helps them politically. That's it. That's all. Under reconciliation, a simple majority is needed to pass a bill. However, this can only be used on bills that are focused on spending, revenue, and the federal debt limit. It is limited to only 3 bills per year. Even the White House said it is not for ending the filibuster, with Joe Biden confirming he's still opposed to dropping the procedure. However, when it comes to things like election reform, even moderate Democrats have shown they're willing to be more flexible on the 60-vote threshold. So now we want to take election reform and put that in the filibuster, tie that in with the filibuster along with the financial legislation so that they only need 51 votes. Top Democrats have voiced they're not going to allow the filibuster to shut down the recent voting reform bill passed in the House. They suggested there should be reconciliation permission for proposals involving civil and voting rights. They're calling this a Voting Rights Act, which essentially is it's a Voting Rights Act because it gives the rights of their agents on the ground to harvest ballots, to go from place to place to place to place, to take people's ballots from old people and other people who say they can't make it to the voting booth for whatever reason, take those ballots, and then we're supposed to trust these people to do what's right with these ballots, to actually cast their votes correctly and not to engage in any fraud. I'm sorry. You do not build an election system based on trusting people, trusting Democrat operatives, socialist, communist operatives, unless, of course, you want to steal the election. Plain and simple. Unless you want to be able to codify election fraud. And that is exactly what this is. Okay, so let's talk about I'm just going to give a quick summary. This is from the, like I said, from the Heritage Foundation. But look, I hope that gives us hope. I think it should. That it's possible that this thing will not fail. If Manchin, pray for Manchin, pray for Sinema, that they stay strong and not bending on the filibuster. They're under enormous pressure right now. And, you know, if you're in West Virginia or if you're in Arizona, call their office and let them know how you feel, because this bill cannot pass. It cannot pass. We're going to have a mess on our hands. We're going to have a constitutional crisis. We're going to have to seriously consider secession, because we'll never be able to win another election again. Unless, of course, the Republican Party starts engaging in all the same practices that the Democrats have been doing. And I'm sure there are some that do it on some scale, probably smaller. I'm not saying that the Republican Party is perfect, but they're going to have to engage in the same corrupt tactics on a broad scale. And I think that's not something a lot of us want to do. We don't want to engage in election fraud. We want to campaign and present and argue for our ideas, and may the best man or woman win. Man or woman. You know, there's just men and women. I know that it's a revolutionary idea that there are two genders, men and women. You know, if back in the 90s and they're calling for tolerance, 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 someone got up and said, you know what, if we bend to your LGBTQ agenda, I don't even know if there was a Q on it, but I don't know what the, if we bend to this, you guys are going to be pushing for legislation so that boys can go into girls' bathrooms and showers, that girls' sporting teams have to let biological males on their teams, and all of the other craziness that has come from this, they would have called us crazy. They would have called us nuts. If someone had said, you know what, you guys are going to say that a boy can be a boy 1 second, a girl the next second, and a zizzer zazzer zoo the next second after that, and you guys will think it's totally okay in accordance with science. You know, they would say, you're crazy. No. We just want tolerance. We just want tolerance. We just want our civil rights just the same as you. We just want to be married just the same as you. So you know what? If we give you gay marriage, you will come after our businesses who do not support that ideology. No. We just want tolerance. That's what they would say. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're crazy. That stuff is the stuff of the idea of a, you know, pink rhinoceros dancing on the other side of the moon. No way. So that's my social commentary of the day. Okay, HR 1. The For the Politicians Act. HR 1 would federalize and micromanage the election process administered by the states, imposing unnecessary, unwise, and unconstitutional mandates on the states and reversing the decentralization of the American election process, which is essential to the protection of our liberty and freedom. Right now, the states are in charge of our elections. That's how it should be. When you decentralize it, you put it in the hands, you spread out the power, and so there's less possibility for just a few people engaging in corruption that can then flip the outcome, change the outcome, or turn the outcome of elections to what they want. It's got to be decentralized. I remember even President Obama 5 years ago or so talking about how it's very difficult to hack our elections because they're decentralized. And of course, his guy in the White House, Jed Johnson, I remember him a few years ago floating the idea of the federalizing of national elections. And of course they want to do that. Of course, because they believe they should have all the power. That is what communism is. all of the power in the hands of one federal party. That's communism. A monarchy is all of the power in one federal man, the king, the emperor, the pharaoh, the sultan. Communism, all the power in one party. And that's what they want to do. It would, among other things, implement nationwide the worst changes in election rules that occurred during the 2020 election. Go even further in eroding and eliminating basic security protocols that states have in place. Texas, my state, would not be able to check the ID of voters. Like, this bill would not, it would be illegal for us, when someone comes to vote, say, okay, show me your ID. That's how radical and just godless and disgusting and diabolical this is. I mean, it's essentially just anybody that comes up to you and says, I'm this person, okay, go and vote. Go even further in eroding and eliminating basic security protocols that states have in place and interfere with the ability of states and their citizens to determine the qualifications and eligibility of voters, ensure the accuracy of voter registration rolls, secure the fairness and integrity of elections, and participate and speak freely in the political process. So that's a short summary. Check it out. It's up at the link to the Heritage article is up at cgm.news. It's worth educating yourself, and it's worth calling your senator your senator at this point. It's past the House. It's worth calling your senator to voice your opposition to this. Your republic is worth it. Now, this was a video I actually wanted to get to on what's going on in Arizona, because the Supreme Court is hearing an election case coming out of Arizona. So let's take a listen. This is from One America News.
And the Supreme Court hears oral arguments on Tuesday on Arizona's election laws, with rulings expected sometime this summer. Here's One America's Christina Bob.
The Supreme Court is hearing oral argument today in Bronovich v. the Democrat National Committee, which is the case stemming from Arizona election law. Arizona legislatures passed several measures banning practices such as ballot harvesting, but the DNC challenged those laws, claiming they were racist. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the practice of banning ballot harvesting is unconstitutional. Arizona Senator Sonny Borelli has been instrumental in the election integrity fight and joins us to explain the Arizona election laws. Senator, what's the purpose of banning ballot harvesting, and why does the Arizona legislature believe it to be so important?
Well, because that ballot needs to be controlled. The ballot needs to be controlled to make sure that no illegal ballots get put into the ballot box. You know, this is a practice that's been going on, that's the number one cause of any kind of election fraud. You know, everybody says voter fraud. No, it's election fraud. And this is, you know, everybody's ballot is sacred, and we want to protect the legal ballot, the legal voter. We want to make sure that nobody's stuffing a ballot box. And that's what, you know, it's amazing that I'm not surprised that the Ninth Circuit Court would rule against us, because they're, I think, you know, that's California area, and they do it all the time. So once again, ballot harvesting is the Constitution grants us the authority, or we have the authority to run elections and everything else and be in charge of all that. But now, you know, they want to say that we don't have the authority. And this is why there's so many problems nationwide on election integrity.
Right.
Yeah, and that's, so we'll see what happens if the Supreme Court rules that the legislature does not have the right to make their own laws in regards to the elections in Arizona. That could have a ripple effect. So they are taking this case, Trump's cases, Lynn Wood's cases, they are taking the Arizona case, and it's critical. It's clear in the Constitution. I've read it. I mean, it's clear in the Constitution that, I believe it's Article 2, that it's up to the legislatures. And of course, we're not surprised that the Ninth Circuit would rule the Constitution unconstitutional. I mean, that's where we're at. The question is, will our Supreme Court, will they have the integrity to rule our Constitution constitutional, and the states continue to have the right to make their own laws. I guess time will tell. All right, I want to get to some immigration stuff. There's a disaster. I mean, there's an immigration disaster at our border. You're reading about it everywhere. We're updating CGM.news. I don't need to go into too much, but this came out today. This is from the Epoch Times. More capacity needed for child migrants amid surge, White House. The White House is working on adding more room to house young migrants who crossed the southern border after a group of senior officials traveled to the border to speak to staffers and children and see the worsening situation firsthand. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and a slew of other Biden administration officials, such as Domestic Policy Advisor Susan Rice, went to southern Texas and toured a Customs and Border Protection facility along with the newly reopened Carrizo Springs holding facility. No reporters were allowed to accompany the group. Okay. All about the people. All about the people. For the people, people. We're just all just into the people. We just, all about them. What's best for them, especially, let me tell you something. We are about these migrants. Oh, let me tell you, we love them. We're all about their safety and security. We just are. Wait, we'll see if that's the case. Following the visit, the group plans on briefing President Joe Biden. Boy, that's hard to say. Briefing Biden about what they learned, though they hadn't done so as of Monday. That briefing will include advice on how to increase capacity for the rapidly increasing number of child migrants arriving at the border. Quote, we know just purely by the number that there is going to be a need, right? Because we have a large number of kids, unaccompanied children, who are coming across the border. Now, why would they be unaccompanied? Things that make you go, Things that make you go, okay, I'm not going to do it. Okay, I love this. As you all know, we inherited a broken system. Who built the cages, Joe? Who built the cages? And we have. There are many challenges involved currently. We did speak to many of the folks involved, including children. So it is. We're trying to manage this in an orderly fashion. But obviously, being very mindful of the human cost here, in light of the fact that we are talking about kids, could it be that your open border radical policies invited this? Could it be that you brought this problem upon yourself? This crisis that we were not having before the fake president Biden, the puppet president Biden, took office? And I don't mean that disrespectfully to Biden. That is what he is. And I don't even think he knows that. And I'm not being pejorative to Biden either. My goodness. I mean, pray for him. This is elder abuse, running him and then installing him as this puppet president. Okay, so that's the news. There's a great article at amgreatness.com, which is, it's an excellent site. They do really, really good reporting and commentary. I want to read briefly from it. Joe Biden's immoral border crisis. Joe Biden's immoral border crisis. And we'll see why it's immoral. America may be taking its time edging toward a vague idea of normal, but the southern U.S. border is wide open for business. Oh, yeah, business. More than 70,000 illegal immigrants are being detained a month, the most for this period in more than a decade. The Department of Health and Human Services, which oversees the detention of children, is nearing capacity and has already reopened its overflow facilities, quote, overflow facilities. Yeah, what are these overflow facilities? Yeah, you may remember them as they were cages. They were cages just a few short months ago. They were cages, and now they're overflow facilities. Quote, we're seeing the highest February numbers that we've ever seen in the history of the unaccompanied alien child program. The highest numbers that we've seen in the history of the unaccompanied Alien Child Program, an HHS official told Axios last week. On Friday, the CDC permitted shelters housing children, formerly known as cages, to expand to maximum capacity, abandoning a requirement to stay near 50% to inhibit the spread of COVID-19. So you and I have to put on 8 million masks. We have to stay away from each other. We have to lock ourselves in our homes. We have to have our businesses destroyed because this is the most deadly pandemic in the history of pandemics, in the history of the world, of all the pandemics and all of the universe. But we're going to shove these kids, and our kids can't go to school because it's just going to spread all that COVID around everywhere. Oh, but look at this. We're going to maximize out these facilities that these future Democratic voters are going to be housed in. You see that? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. These children. See, I see them as children. They see them as voters. We see them as children. They see them as a constituency. They see them as their continual perpetuation of power. We know that that's what this is about. Look, there's no excuse. There's no getting around it. What's going on at the border has everything to do with raw power and not about anybody's protection and safety. Abandoning the protocols for them, but not allowing kids to go back to school is just, there's no excuse. There's no getting around that. All of this is a response to incentives. Immediately upon taking office, Biden ended the migrant protection protocols enacted by his predecessor, which required asylum seekers to wait for their hearings in border facilities in Central America rather than being released into the interior of the country. And even Mexican President Obrador, remember that? He said, look, I had a very good relationship with President Trump. He was lamenting President Trump no longer being in office. Now, recently he's come out and said, yeah, you know, getting rid of the wall. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Sure, sure. Let's just sit. I have an idea. It's a really, really, really good one. I'm full of good ideas today. And You know what? Just like this HR1 is going to basically give everybody in America, whether they're illegal immigrants, whether they are prisoners, whether they're like here for a few days and, you know, going back home to Japan or something like that, going to give like everybody, not citizens, but if you look at the bill, like individuals, the ability to vote. Why don't we, let's use the blockchain and let's just set up voting for everybody in the world everywhere. Let's just do that. Like, it's pretty bigoted, if you ask me. It's pretty bigoted that only people who are in the physical locale of America are able to vote in American elections. Why not let anybody and everybody? You're being racist, you're being bigoted, you're being sexist. Think of all of these people of color around the world who cannot vote in American elections. It truly is. The racism in this country is astonishing. We all need to become anti-racist, and we all need to work and promote that everybody in the world can vote in our elections. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to get that off my chest. I just did. I had to. Biden also axed the asylum agreements Trump negotiated with Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, which require asylum seekers to remain in the first safe country they enter, the prevailing standard for asylum seekers in the European Union and Canada. In their place, Biden has re-implemented the Obama-era process of, remember this, catch and release, where illegal crossers claiming asylum are detained, processed, and released into the interior of the country to await their hearing, which usually takes years. And if I may add, we actually have to trust them that they will even come to the hearing. Okay, well, I mentioned business. Let's talk business, shall we? Let's talk business. This message is welcome news to the cartels, whose human trafficking industry has taken a hit over the past 4 years. Hustling migrants illegally across the U.S. border is a big business for the criminal enterprises of Central America. Very big. In 2019, Iran Corporation study estimated that cartels reap up to $2.3 billion in annual profits solely from human smuggling, which finances the continued growth of these massive transnational crime organizations. I know of another massive transnational crime organization, it's the Democrat Party and some Republicans along with them, that push this garbage. There is a human cost to this. a human cost to this, that the more I learn about it, the more that it is mind-boggling, that that border security is pro-life. It is a good thing. It's an not an evil thing. It's a it is, I think, in some ways, a God-honoring thing. I've never said that before about the border wall. And honestly, no pun intended, I've been on the fence about the border wall in the past. No more. No more. We need that freaking wall. And you'll see why even more so in a second. As their profits grow, so does their power and sophistication as a trafficking syndicate. Multiple news outlets reported last week that traffickers are now requiring migrants to wear wristbands to keep track of who is paid and which cartel is responsible for which migrant. Migrants are chattel, which means a slave. Migrants are chattel to the cartels and treated as such. They are packed into overcrowded trucks and deprived of basic needs. At least a dozen migrants were killed this week in California in a crash between an overpacked SUV and semi-truck after the SUV drove through a hole in the border fence. It's all about the people. You know, America is the most racist, most bigoted, most evil country with a history of white supremacism and slavery and unequal rights. It's just terrible for people of color. I mean, Ilhan Omar herself, one of the most powerful people in Congress, an incredibly privileged person, just she can't go by herself anywhere without her security because she's a woman of color, even though there's video of her going by herself to places without security. It's just so, it's so racist. America is so racist to people of color and so evil that we have to get as many people of color in the United States as possible. We do. We just do. We need to get them here so that they'll be better off than the countries that they came from, which have very few white people in them. So we want, for their safety and protection, we want to get them away from their countries, which are all, quote, people of color, to a country that is majority white, that is racist and terrible for them in order for their protection. Okay, I'm following. I got it. I got it. Leftist logic. I got it. It makes perfect sense. Now, here, this is really heartbreaking. This is really heartbreaking. I hope you don't mind the satire. I got to do it to stay sane. Women and girls are treated even worse. They are raped and abused, left for dead, and tied to rape trees or on mattresses in stash houses. Young girls are given birth control before being sent north with smugglers. The grotesque sexual violence these children will suffer is an accepted transactional cost. It's heartbreaking. Illegal immigration at the border is not occurring spontaneously. Rather, it is illegal immigration facilitated by a criminal industry operating at a transnational scale. Our border policies encourage all of this. They incentivize and monetize it. There's a direct and undeniable line to be drawn between our U.S. border policies and the billion-dollar brutal industry of human flesh. There's more to the article. It's up at cgm.news. There are people. Have you heard of the Darien Gap? Look up Darien Gap, D-A-R-I-E-N. Look it up. That's what they have to go through down in Central America in order to get from South America to North America to make it through. It's a jungle. Literal jungle infested by bandits amongst wild animals. People go there with very little. Parents die. Children die. Children are left parentless. It's it's extremely dangerous. Our border policies encourage people to go through the Darien Gap and for children to lose their parents along the way. Remember with COVID, if it just saves one life, if muzzling ourselves and silencing ourselves and locking ourselves up in our homes under house arrest just saves one life. It's all propaganda. It's all communist, Marxist propaganda for the purpose of solidifying power. What you're seeing in America right now is it's the greatest psyop perhaps in the history of psyops. This is a psychological operation, and it's a language operation. It's a narrative operation. They are really trying to get us to essentially ignore reality. You know, this transgender craziness, it's what they are doing is they are training the populace to reject and ignore basic reality. And if they can train the populace to reject basic morality, then they can get them to accept anything. They can get them to accept that this border crisis is a good thing, and all the women and girls being raped, all of the people being smuggled, the human smuggling, the human trafficking, the children that become parentless on the way, they become orphans on the way to escaping whatever country that they're in. It's sick. It's disgusting. We need to build that wall, and we need to help them in place.
You know, this Democrat Party, this isn't the Democrat Party of your parents or your grandparents. This is a radical group, the most progressive group that we've seen. And they figure they may have one Congress, one term here. Mm-hmm. They're going to load every progressive piece of legislation. You know, this $1.9 trillion package, this was appropriating in the out years. You know, I had them read the entire bill. It took 11 hours just to read it. It takes a lot longer to study it and comprehend it. 11 hours. I can't tell you how many times I heard the year 2022, 2023, 2025, right. 2028. What's emergency spending about spending occurring, you know, 4, 5, 6
years into the future? But yeah, it's not. If you're for America, then you vote for the Republicans, especially for MAGA America First. And America First really is just, it's just pro-America. It's like not hate ourselves, America. Not destroy ourselves, America. That's America First. That, you know, put on, like when you're in the airplane, you go on a flight and they tell you, you know, put on your oxygen mask before you help the kid next to you, right? Because if you don't have your oxygen mask on, you're going to die, and you're not going to be able to help the kid next to you. It's the same kind of idea. If our country is not healthy, then we cannot be a force for good in the world that we do need to be. We have a leadership role. Now, that doesn't mean we need to storm Iraq, storm Afghanistan, storm all these countries and engage in regime change, Libya, and all this garbage nonsense where we're really trying to control the leadership of everybody around the world in order to continue to prop up and send trillions of dollars to the military industrial complex. But we do have a leadership role. We're a beacon of freedom. And as Christians, we are to pray for this country that it is not just a beacon of liberty here in this life, but it's also a beacon of liberty for the next life as well, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you abandon Judeo-Christian values, you're going to have something in its place. We have got to get God back in the schools. We have got to get God back in the schools, because they say, well, you can't have religion in the schools. We have religion in the schools. It's called secularism. It's called Darwinism. It's called we're all one just big cosmic accidents with no ultimate purpose and no ultimate morality that we must abide by. We have got to get that back. Let's get to some international news. Oh, you know what? Speaking of the wall, I've got to play this incredible video. It's linked up at cgm.news. I retweeted it at CGM Radio News on Twitter. But here we go. Let's just go.
I'm Lauren Boebert, a mom, a small business owner, a defender of freedom. Here's what I know. You protect what you love. President Trump built a big, beautiful wall because he loves America. And he wanted to secure our country and protect us from drugs, illegal aliens pouring into our communities, and sex traffickers. Democrats, they fought him every step of the way. And now, welcome to Fort Pelosi, where Democrats decry walls from within their own heavily guarded razor wire wall. Democrats don't want to protect you because they don't care about you, yep. But they'll spare no expense protecting themselves.
We will not build
Hillary.
A wall.
No, there will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
I'm not for a wall.
It's time to cut the crap and remember, this is the people's house. Madam Speaker, tear down this wall.
boom, baby. She's literally, if you haven't seen the video, she's literally walking by this Capitol fence. And then there's a video of Hillary Clinton, of Joe Biden, and Nancy Pelosi talking about how bad walls are. I mean, this is just a bomb, the bomb. Honestly, guys, look, because they're talking about they want to make that fence permanent. I think we need a million man America march to protest this border fence. This is communism. This is totalitarianism. They want to keep us away from our capital. Why? Because there were some agent provocateurs, some Antifa, some BLM, along with, yes, some real Trump supporters that did storm the Capitol. What, 100, 150 of them or so? Because they did that? So now we have to completely, instead of just ramping up security, which they had no security, and not only that, but there's video of the security letting people in. Nancy Pelosi turned down security, as was testimony from a Capitol Police chief. He requested, he begged for security, and she said, no, it's bad optics. That's according to his testimony. The Capitol Police, I guarantee you that guy's a Democrat. 97% plus in Washington, D.C. are. So, I'm sorry, but this is, that wall's got to go. That wall's got to go. And Lauren Boebert, she is a hero. She's from Colorado's 3rd District. She deserves our support and people like her. Oh, I just saw this interesting hashtag Lauren Boebert for prison on Twitter is trending. That's communism. Who was it that said, show me the man and I'll show you the crime? I think that was one of Stalin's guys that said that. I know I've spent a lot on domestic news. It's hard to talk about random news from around the world with what's going on here in the United States. But it's important. And this is not random news. This right here, Biden approves release of $3 billion of Iran's funds in Iraq, Oman, and South Korea. This is from Al Arabiya up at cgm.news as well. Take a look at that. Biden is all of the sanctions and all the things that Trump was doing in order to cripple the Iran regime, to get them to a table to actually do a decent nuclear deal. Biden has taken all that away. He's unfrozen billions and billions of dollars of funds so that now they can continue to terrorize the Middle East, but not just the Middle East. I was going to read more of that story, but we're running short on time. And I want to get to this stuff from the CDC. Iranian militia groups, this is from the Epoch Times, Iranian militia groups claim to have active cells in Washington. So isn't that great? So we've now unfrozen billions and billions of dollars in funds that the Iranians can now access so they can support not just their terror groups all over the world, but their terror groups right here at home. We got to go after those white Christian nationalists. We got to go to those white, really the biggest problem in the world right now are white Christian nationalists. And even places like Christianity Today seem to agree. Who would have thought that the day would come when Christianity Today would be blatantly anti-Christian? That magazine should be ashamed of themselves. How dare they partner with the enemies of their brothers and sisters in Christ, the direct enemies of their brothers and sisters in Christ. And if they're naive to think that the left, when they talk about that, is only referring to just this, you know, this small segment of people that stormed the Capitol or something like that, no. It's if you're white and a Christian and you happen to love your country, you're a white Christian nationalist. But really, they're also against the, quote, people of color that are Christians and are nationalists as well. It's not just that. So that's again, you've got to look past the words into what they actually mean, because you can't trust the words. For the People Act is the prime example of that. A Telegram channel affiliated with Iran-backed militia groups in Iraq posted in English a claim that Iraqi resistance cells have the capacity to target U.S. troops in Washington and other U.S. cities, according to a report. Quote, the axis of resistance today is stronger than before. resistance cells are rooted, even in America and its capital. Are they referring to the Democrat Party? And anyway, reads the social media post, according to the Middle East Media Research Institute, which posted a screenshot of the message. But let's unfreeze billions and billions of dollars of assets so the Iranians can continue to fund these people and our capital. This is an interesting time in American history. Will the Union continue and succeed? Or will we once again have to secede? Will we need another revolutionary war, which I think there's no need for violence in that. I just think the states will need to just band together and secede and say, no, we're not doing this. You know, the first time the South seceded was for slavery, to maintain the institution of slavery. I think this time we'll have to secede in order to keep ourselves from becoming slaves of this communist regime. We'll see. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We are living in a very fascinating time in American history. God is on the move, though. Aslan is on the move. Trump is still doing stuff. Like, he's going strong. He's got this Save America pack. He's endorsing candidates left and right. He is the head of the Republican Party. He is the head of the resistance. There's no question about it. They have not been able to take him out yet. Keep praying for him. Interesting stuff ahead. And, you know, if I can just say something, this past weekend, I got to go to two wonderful events. I got to go to a wedding, and this wedding was just absolutely beautiful. It was the wedding of our good friend here on the CGM Radio Network, JP from JP's Political Matrix, which that show is on pause right now, but should be coming back soon. It was, man, I tell you something, you know, it was an outdoor wedding. It was like 5 o'clock on Saturday with all the crazy weather. The weather was perfect. And, you know, the bridesmaids and the groomsmen walk in together and you know, the parents. And then I look over and I see JP and his daughter, and it was powerful. It was beautiful. I can't explain it. I was just struck by it. The power and beauty of it, the father and daughter together, and the father giving his daughter away in marriage. And it was so refreshing. It was so refreshing. And then the next day, I went to a performance of Beauty and the Beast, done by a good friend of mine who's also been actually on the network in the past, and who directed it. And it really was a work of art. I didn't really even know any of the kids in the cast or anything, but just watching it was just an incredible work of art, just a work of beauty is what it was. And I encourage us to, amidst all of the political of what's going on and a lot of bad news that's out there, let's not forget the beauty that is right in front of us. Whether it's our family, whether it's, you know, relationships with our family, our wife, our children, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, the people that we're around, and whether it's just simply God's creation itself. One of the best movies that was ever made that I will not ever watch again because it's way too violent. Many of you know that what movie I'm referring to now is Gladiator. Gladiator was a fantastic movie. It was a truly work of art. But I can't stomach the violence in that movie. I absolutely cannot. But I remember the opening scene of Gladiator when General Maximus is just kind of standing there, and he's looking at, I don't know what it was, the growth of wheat or whatever was right in front of him. And there's this little butterfly. It's just him looking at this little butterfly. And the butterfly flitters away. And then the camera pans and turns and looks. And you see just this sea, just tens of thousands of soldiers engaging in this brutal warfare. And I don't know I haven't heard an interview of the director on that scene or anything like that, but I can't help but, you know, what their intention was behind that scene. But I just can't help but see, wow, even in the midst of great carnage and bloodshed, there's very simple beauty and a very simple, beautiful display of God's creation. So amidst the bad news, guys, get outside, look at God's creation, be thankful to God for his creation, enjoy it, and see the beauty that is in life. And don't let the thugs in Washington, D.C., or anywhere else, take that away from us. Because if they take away our happiness and our joy, which of course is first and foremost rooted in our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we let them do that, they've already won. They've already won without passing a single piece of legislation. If they can take our joy and the freedom in our hearts away from us that God provides to us, don't let them do that. Yes, be informed. Keep up with what's going on as a good citizen. Don't overdo it on the news. Take breaks from the news. It's very important. I do it. I've got to do it over the weekends, at least over the weekends or part of the weekend. I got to do it. I got to give my brain a rest. But just don't let them take that away. Enjoy the beauty of creation that is before you. Okay, I want to end off. I'm over an hour now, but I'm going to mention these briefly. This one's from the Gateway Pundit. CDC claims mask mandates don't have statistically improved impact on spread of COVID than no masks at all. Well, therefore, continue pushing masks. The CDC recommends wearing masks after their study showed that related to COVID, the results of wearing masks were statistically the same as the results when not wearing masks. New CDC, this is from @breaking911, new CDC report, mask mandates lower COVID cases by around 1.5% over a two-month period. Oh, okay, interesting. Oh, and then @breaking911 puts out another statement, the results are inside the margin for a statistical error. He's got a quote from the late George Carlin here. Think of how stupid the average person is and realize half of them are stupider than that. That is incredible. That's incredible coming from the CDC. And we're going to be talking more about this kind of stuff. We're going to be getting into studies next week with Rob Harmon. You will not want to miss that interview. Rob is an incredible human being. Absolutely incredible human being. I got to spend time. I became reacquainted with him at the Saving Civilization conference that Mark Cole put on. Got reacquainted with him, and I'm like, I've got to get this guy on the show. He's just an incredible individual, and who has the authority to speak about this stuff because he himself is a medical professional. CDC study finds 78% of COVID-19 hospitalizations were people overweight or obese. This is from the Daily Caller. Researchers found that 27.8% of hospitalized COVID-19 patients were overweight, while 50.2% of patients were obese. The CDC study was conducted from a sample of 71,491 adults who were diagnosed with COVID-19 and admitted to 238 hospitals nationwide between March and December 2020, which led to an observation on the Daily Caller. Was there Instagram? Good thing we had those gyms closed during the crisis. All right, guys, that will do it for this week's episode of World News Brief. Make sure to check us out online, cgmradio.com. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Email me, world@cgmradio.com. I would love to interact with you there. May his kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.